Chapter 244, The Excellence of the Remembrance of Allah. Allah the Exalted says, "And the remembering, praising of you by Allah in front of the angels is greater indeed than your remembering, praising of Allah in prayers." 29:45. "Therefore, remember me by praying, glorifying, I will remember you." 2:152. "And remember your Rabb by your tongue and within yourself, humbly and with fear and without loudness in words, in the mornings and in the afternoons, and be not of those who are neglectful." 7:205. "And remember Allah much that you may be successful." 62:10. "Verily, the Muslims, those who submit to Allah in Islam, men and women, up to, and the men and the women who remember Allah much with their hearts and tongues, Allah has prepared for them forgiveness and a great reward, i.e. Jannah." 33:35. "O you who believe, remember Allah with much remembrance and glorify His praises morning and afternoon, the early morning Fajr and Asr prayers." 33:41 and 42. 1408. Abu Huraira r.a. reported, "The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, there are two statements that are light for the tongue to remember, heavy in the scales, and are dear to the merciful. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi subhanallahil azim. Glory be to Allah, and His is the praise, and Allah, the greatest, is free from imperfection." Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Commentary. This hadith affirms that man's actions carry weight. On the Day of Judgment, his actions will be cast into the balance. At that time, Allah will endow these actions with weight. Or, according to some scholars, those records which register man's actions will be weighed. This is quite possible for the reason that Almighty Allah is capable of weighing things without even their physical form. This discussion apart, when actions will be cast into the balance, the formula mentioned in the hadith, the utterance of which is very easy, will prove weighty. Every Muslim should make it a practice to repeat them frequently. 1409. Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu reported, "The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, the uttering of the words Subhanallah, Allah is free from imperfection, Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah, La ilaha illallah, there is no true God except Allah, and Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest, is dearer to me than anything over which the sun rises." Muslim. Commentary. This hadith highlights the fact that the formulas which mention the praise and glory of Allah, His majesty and oneness, are liked by the Prophet, peace be upon him, more than anything in the world, because this is one of the virtues which will survive and will be rewarded, while the world and all that it has will perish. 1410. Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu reported, "The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, he who utters 100 times in a day these words, La ilaha illahu wahdahu la sharika lahu, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. There is no true God except Allah. He is one, and He has no partner with Him. His is the sovereignty, and His is the praise. And He is omnipotent. He will have a reward equivalent to that for emancipating 10 slaves. 100 good deeds will be recorded to his credit. 100 of his sins will be blotted out from his scroll, and he will be safeguarded against the devil on that day till the evening. And no one will exceed him in doing more excellent good deeds except someone who has recited these words more often than him. And he who utters Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, Allah is free from imperfection and His is the praise, 100 times a day, his sins will be obliterated, even if they are equal to the extent of the foam of the ocean." Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Commentary. Here, sins mean minor sins and those which do not relate to the rights of people. This point has already been elaborated in the preceding ahadith. 1411. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari r.a. reported, "The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, He who utters 10 times, La ilaha illallahu wahdahu la sharika lahu, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. There is no true God except Allah. He is one, and He has no partner with Him. His is the sovereignty, and His is the praise, and He is omnipotent. He will have a reward equal to that for freeing 4 slaves from the progeny of Prophet Ismail, peace be upon him. Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Commentary. Slaves from the progeny of Ismail, peace be upon him, is a simile for very precious slaves. That is, it has the same reward to which the emancipation of 4 very precious slaves is eligible. 14:12. Abu Dhar radiyallahu anhu reported, "The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said to me, 'Shall I tell you the expression that is most loved by Allah? It is, Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Allah is free from imperfection, and His is the praise.'" Muslim. 14:13. Abu Malik al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu reported, "The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, 'Wudu is half of Salat, and the expression, Subhanallah, Allah is free from imperfection, fills the balance, and the expression, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, fills the space between the heavens and the earth.'" Muslim. Commentary. Tahur is purification or wudu, while tahur is water or something which is used for purification. According to some scholars, faith means salat. This is also the sense in which it has been used in the Quran. "And Allah would never make your faith to be lost, i.e. your prayers." 2:143. Thus, when salat is the faith, the purification is a prerequisite for salat. Salat is not valid without purification. Some scholars are of the opinion that faith here means faith in general, as the Sharia defines it. To sincerely accept and believe in all that the Prophet, peace be upon him, came with, i.e. sincere acceptance of Allah and His Prophet, peace be upon him. Purification is half of the faith, means the acceptance that purification is the most important article of faith. It is like the saying of the Prophet, peace be upon him, that Hajj is Arafah, which means that Arafat, the place where the pilgrims stay on the 9th day of Zulhijjah, is the most important element of the Hajj. Thus, this hadith stresses the importance and merits of purification and offers an inducement for it. It also mentions the eminence of the invocations mentioned in the hadith by saying that if they are given a form, they will fill the space between the heavens and the earth. In other words, it is a description of the infinite vastness of the mercy and grace of Allah. 14:14. Sa'd bin Abu Waqqas radiyallahu anhu reported, "A Bedouin came to the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, and said to him, 'Teach me a few words to recite frequently.' He, peace be upon him, said, 'Say, La ilaha illallahu wahdahu la sharika lahu, Allahu akbar kabiran, walhamdulillahi kathiran, wa subhanallahi rabbil alameen, wa la hawla wa la quwata illa billahil azizul hakim.' There is no true God except Allah, the One, and He has no partner with Him. Allah is the greatest, and greatness is for Him. All praise is due to Him. Allah, the Rabb of the worlds, is free from imperfection. There is no might and power but that of Allah, the All-Powerful and the All-Wise." The Bedouin said, "All of these for my Rabb, but what is for me?" Thereupon the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, "You should say, Allahumma ghfirli, warhamni, wahdini, warzukni. O Allah, grant me pardon, have mercy upon me, direct me to righteousness, and provide me subsistence." Muslim. 14:15. Thawban radiyallahu anhu reported, "Whenever the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, concluded his prayer, he would beg forgiveness from Allah thrice and then would recite, 'Allahumma antas salamu wa minkas salamu, tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram.' O Allah, you are the grantor of security, and security comes from you. You are blessing, O you who have majesty and nobility." Imam Al-Auza'i, one of the narrators of this hadith, was asked, "How forgiveness is to be sought?" He answered, "The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, used to say, 'Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, I beseech Allah for forgiveness, I beseech Allah for forgiveness.'" Muslim. 14:16. Al-Mughira bin Shubah radiyallahu anhu reported, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, used to say at the conclusion of prayer, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير اللهم لا مانع لما أتيت ولا موتيا لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. There is no true God except Allah. He is one and He has no partner with Him. His is the sovereignty and His is the praise and He is omnipotent. O Allah, none can deny that which you bestow, and none can bestow that which you hold back. And the greatness of the great will be of no avail to them against you. Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Commentary. Al-Jaddu means good luck and richness. That is, good fortune and prosperity will not be of any avail before Allah. What will really benefit a person before Him are faith and virtuous deeds. The prayer quoted in this hadith makes a special mention of His oneness. 14:17. It has been reported that Abdullah bin Zubair radiyallahu anhuma used to recite after taslim at the conclusion of every salat, La ilaha illallahu wahdahu la sharika lahu, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله لا إله إلا الله ولا نعبد إلا إياه له النعمة وله الفضل ولحت ثن الحسن لا إله إلا الله مخلصين له الدين ولو كره الكافرون. There is no true God except Allah. He is one. To Him belongs the dominion and to Him is all praise. And He is powerful over all things. There is no power and might except with the help of Allah. There is no God but Allah, and we worship none except Him. To Him belongs the bounty, and to Him belongs the grace, and to Him belongs all excellent praise. There is no deity but Allah. We reserve our devotion exclusively for Him, though the disbelievers may detest it. Ibn Az-Zubair said, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, used to celebrate Allah's greatness in those terms after every salat, prayer. Muslim. Commentary. The invocation mentioned in this hadith is ordained by the Prophet, peace be upon him, and was his practice. To recite Shahada repeatedly after salat and to offer benediction and salutations to the Prophet, peace be upon him, collectively is a self-invented formula and is not consonant with the practice of the Prophet, peace be upon him. It is, therefore, a heresy and will have no merit. Every Muslim has to follow only the preachings and practice of the Prophet, peace be upon him. 14:18. Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu reported, the poor emigrants came to the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, and said, the wealthy have gone with the highest ranks and lasting bliss. He asked, how is that? They replied, they offer salat, prayer, as we offer it. They observe fast as we do. And, as they are wealthy, they perform Hajj and Umrah and go for jihad. And they spend in charity, but we cannot. And they free the slaves, but we are unable to do so. The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, shall I not teach you something with which you may overtake those who surpassed you, and with which you will surpass those who will come after you? None will excel you unless he who does which you do. They said, yes, please do, O Messenger of Allah. He, peace be upon him, said, you should recite Tasbih. Allah is free from imperfection. Takbir. Allah is greatest. Tahmid. Praise be to Allah, 33 times after each salat. Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Abu Saleh, the sub-narrator of the hadith, said, when Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu was asked about the manner of reciting tasbih, tahmid, and takbir, he said, recite subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wallahu akbar, till all are recited 33 times. Commentary. This hadith has already been mentioned, but with a slightly different wording with reference to Sahih Muslim. The elaboration made by Abu Saleh apparently seems to indicate that all the three words should be recited in combination while other religious scholars have shown preference for reciting them separately. The purpose is, however, attained in either way. There does arise one question here. Should one recite each of these words 33 times or in all for 33 times? The wording of the hadith does not make this clear. Other ahadith, which will follow soon, make it clear that each of these words is to be recited for 33 times. This is how their aggregate will come to 99. The hadith that follows makes this point clear. 1419. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported, "The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, 'He who recites after every prayer, Subhanallah, Allah is free from imperfection, 33 times, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, 33 times, Allahu Akbar, Allah is greatest, 33 times, and completes the 100 with La ilaha illallahu wahdahu la sharika lahu, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. There is no true God except Allah. He is one, and He has no partner with Him. His is the sovereignty, and His is the praise, and He is omnipotent. Will have all His sins pardoned, even if they may be as large as the foam on the surface of the sea." Muslim. 1420. Ka'b bin Ujra radiallahu anhu reported, "The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, 'There are some words, the reciters of which will never be disappointed. These are tasbih, saying Subhanallah, Allah is free from imperfection, 33 times. Tahmid, saying Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, 33 times. And takbir, saying Allahu Akbar, Allah is greatest, 34 times. And these should be recited after the conclusion of every prescribed prayer." Muslim. Commentary. Muakkibat means the words of praise and glorification of Allah which are recited after Salat. This hadith says that the words Allahu Akbar should be recited 34 times. 1421. Sa'd bin Abu Waqas radiallahu anhu reported, "The Messenger of Allah used to seek Allah's protection after prayers in these words, 'O Allah, I seek refuge with you from cowardice, miserliness, and from being sent back to a feeble age, and seek refuge with you from the trials of this life and those of the grave.'" Al-Bukhari. Commentary. Some religious scholars are of the opinion that it is better to observe reciting this dua after concluding prayers, and that it is better to combine both. Some scholars say that the Prophet, peace be upon him, used to recite this dua just before Taslim, while he used to recite the dua mentioned earlier after Taslim. 1422. Mu'adh radiallahu anhu reported, "The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, took hold of my hand and said, 'O Mu'adh, by Allah, I love you. So I advise you to never forget to recite after every prayer, Allahumma inni ala zikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatika. O Allah, help me remember you, to be grateful to you, and to worship you in an excellent manner." Abu Dawud. Commentary. This hadith stresses the fact that one should seek the help of Allah for his remembrance, thanksgiving, and worship, because one cannot do anything without his help and support. It also shows the superiority of Mu'adh radiallahu anhu and the Prophet's love for him. 1423. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported, "The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, 'When any one of you has done his tashahud during salat, prayer, he should seek refuge in Allah against four things and say, Allahumma inni auzubika min adhabi jahannam wa min adhabil qabr wa min fitnatil mahya wal mamat wa min sharri fitnatil masahid dajjal. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from the torment of hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials of life and death, and from the mischief of al-masih ad-dajjal, Antichrist." Muslim. Commentary. Trials of life means ordeals which one has to face in life and which can harm his faith and body. The trials of death means the troubles which one has to face before death. Masih means Mamsu al-An, one who is squint. A Dajjal, deceiver, imposter, refers to that man with a squint who will appear before the Day of Judgment. This is why he is called Al-Masih al-Dajjal. He will make claim of godhood, and in order to test the faith of people, Allah will get some supernatural works done from him. The pious ones would, however, recognize him and will save themselves from this trap. This will be a great trial indeed, and one must seek refuge with Allah from it. 1424. Ali radiallahu anhu reported, "When the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, was in Salat, prayer, He used to supplicate towards the end of the prayer after the shahad and before the concluding salutations. O Allah, forgive my former and latter sins, which I have done secretly and those which I have done openly, and that I have wronged others, and those defaults of mine about which you have better knowledge than I have. You alone can send whomever you will to Jannah, and you alone can send whomever you will to hellfire. None has the right to be worshipped but you, Muslim. 1425. Aisha radiallahu anha reported, the Prophet, peace be upon him, used to recite frequently in his bowing and prostration, Subhanakallahumma rabbana wa bihamdika allahumma ighfirli. O Allah, you are free from imperfection, and I begin with praising you. Forgive my sins. Al-Bukhari and Muslim. 1426. Aisha radiallahu anha reported, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, used to recite in his bowing and prostration, Subbuhun Quddusun Rabbul Malaikati Warruh. You are the most glorious, the most holy. You, the Rabb of the angels and of Jibreel. Muslim. Commentary. Subu and Quddus are two attributive names of Allah which denote His perfect purity and uniqueness. Arruh means Jibreel, Gabriel, although he too comes in the category of angels, but a special mention is made here to emphasize His majesty and honor. In short, the recitation of the prayers mentioned in this hadith is in keeping with the practice of the Prophet, peace be upon him. 1427. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma reported, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, glorify your Lord in ruku, bowing posture, and exert yourself in supplication in prostration. Thus, your supplications are liable to be accepted. Muslim. 1428. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, a slave becomes nearest to his Rabb when he is in prostration, so increase supplications while prostrating. Muslim. Commentary. Both the ahadith mentioned above evidently show that there is a greater possibility of acceptance of an invocation which is made in prostration. Therefore, one must do it in the voluntary salat. 1429. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, used to say in his prostration, O Allah, forgive all my sins, the small and the great, first and the last, the open and the secret. Muslim. Commentary. Although the Prophet, peace be upon him, was innocent and free of sins, he used to pray for the forgiveness of his shortcomings out of his gratitude to Allah's might and majesty. Thus, this hadith has a great lesson for us. In spite of being innocent, he was always fearful of the wrath of Allah, while we, despite being embodiments of sins, are fearless of Allah. 1430. Aisha radiallahu anha reported, one night I missed the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, from his bed. I searched for him. When I found him, he was in bowing or prostrating posture and was reciting, Subhanaka wa bihamdika la ilaha illa anta. You are free from imperfection. And I begin praising you. There is no true God except you. Another narration is, my hand fell over his feet while he was in prostration with his feet erect. He was supplicating, O Allah, I seek protection against your wrath in your pleasure. I seek protection in your pardon against your chastisement. I am not capable of enumerating praise of you. You are as you have lauded yourself. 1431. Sa'd bin Abu Waqqas radiallahu anhu reported, we were with the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, when he asked, is any one of you unable to earn 1,000 good deeds? One of those present asked, how can one earn 1,000 good deeds in a day? He, peace be upon him, replied, by saying Subhanallah 100 times, then 1,000 good deeds will be recorded for him, or 1,000 sins will be blotted out from his record. Muslim. Commentary. 1,000 good deeds in return for saying the word Subhanallah is a minimum reward under the promise that says, Al-Hasna Bashir Al- i.e., tenfold reward would be given for each good deed. The words Al-Yuhad is open to disagreement among the religious scholars. Some of them have mentioned it with O, which means one gets 1,000 good deeds or 1,000 sins are forgiven. While others have mentioned this hadith with the word wayat, that is, one is given 1,000 virtues and a similar number of sins are pardoned. 1432. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu reported, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, every morning, charity is due from every joint bone of the body of every one of you. Every utterance of Allah's glorification, i.e., Subhanallah, is an act of charity. And every utterance of praise of Him, i.e., Alhamdulillah, is an act of charity. And every utterance of profession of faith, i.e., La ilaha illallah, is an act of charity. And every utterance of His greatness, i.e., Allahu Akbar, is an act of charity, and enjoining good is an act of charity, and forbidding what is disreputable is an act of charity, and 2 rakah prayer, which one offers in the forenoon, ad-duha, will suffice for all this. Muslim. Commentary. This hadith has already been mentioned. See hadith number 118. It brings into prominence the distinction of the 2 rakah of ad-duha, as it is a means to express one's gratitude to Allah for 360 joints in one's body. Similarly, the praise and glorification of Allah, the declaration of His oneness, enjoining good and forbidding vices, are all sadqah of man's body. 1433. Juwayriyah bint al-Harith radiallahu anha reported, the mother of the believers. The Prophet, peace be upon him, came out from my apartment in the morning as I was busy in performing the dawn prayer. He came back in the forenoon and found me sitting there. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, are you still in the same position as I left you? I replied in the affirmative. Thereupon, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, I recited 4 words 3 times after I had left you. If these are to be weighed against all you have recited since morning, these will be heavier. These are Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, adadda khalqihi, wa ridda nafsihi, wa zinata arshihi, wa midada kalimatihi. Allah is free from imperfection, and I begin with His praise as many times as the number of His creatures, in accordance with His good pleasure, equal to the weight of His throne and equal to the ink that may be used in recording the words for His praise. Muslim. Commentary. The recitation of the words quoted in this hadith is highly meritorious and rewarding because they are full of praise and glorification of Allah. 1434. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu reported, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, the similitude of one who remembers his Rabb and one who does not remember him is like that of the living and the dead. Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Commentary. Lack of remembrance of Allah is akin to death. When a person dies, he is unable to do anything. Similarly, a person who does not remember Allah goes so far from Him that he cannot do anything which can benefit him. 1435. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, Allah the Exalted says, I am as my slave expects me to be, and I am with him when he remembers me. If he remembers me inwardly, I will remember him inwardly. And if he remembers me in an assembly, I will remember him in a better assembly, i.e. in the assembly of angels. Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Commentary. I am as my slave expects me to be means that one should have the conviction that he accepts repentance, grants pardon, relieves people of their tensions, and emancipates them from their troubles. Along with this conviction, one should do good deeds which please Allah and avoid such deeds which have been prohibited by Him. With this conduct, one should hope for the best from Allah. This approach is similar to that of a cultivator who plows his land, sows the seed, waters it, takes every possible care of it, and then cherishes hope for a good crop. It can also be linked to the endeavors of a person who intends to become a scholar or a physician or an engineer. The first and foremost requirement to pursue his ambition is to study the books through which he can gain the required knowledge. For every work one intends to do, one has to first make a foundation and then acquire the means essential for it. It is only then that one can hope to achieve one's aim. Similar is the case of associating good hopes with Allah. Unless a person does not furnish the foundations of faith and good deeds for it, it will be unwise to associate good hopes with Allah. A slave who, rather than serving his master, runs away or annoys him and still hopes that his master, being so kind, will not take him to task for his excesses, would be called stupid by the people. The same is true of Allah, who is certainly the most compassionate, the most merciful and forgiving. But for whom is He so? The answer for His faithful and obedient slaves, and not for those who are followers of Satan. For Satan and his followers, Allah's decision is that, I will fill hell with you, Iblis, and those of them, mankind, that follow you together. 38:85. 14:36. Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu reported, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, the Mufarridun have gone ahead. He was asked, who are the Mufarridun? He, peace be upon him, replied, those men and women who frequently celebrate the remembrance of Allah. Muslim. Commentary. This hadith highlights the following two points. First, the eminence of plentiful remembrance of Allah. People who have this quality will be ahead of others in reward on the Day of Judgment. Second, people who remember Allah and are obedient to Him, be they men or women, will be rewarded equally. In the matter of reward, no distinction will be made on the basis of their gender. 14:37. Jabir radiyallahu anhu reported, I heard the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, saying, the best way to celebrate the remembrance of Allah is to say, La ilaha illallah, there is no true God except Allah. At-Tirmidhi. Commentary. Since the Shahada is the basis of Islam, its repetition in abundance has the greatest eminence. Some religious scholars regard only La ilaha illallah as eminent, while others hold that the second part of it, Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, is also included in it. Thus, in their opinion, both these parts of the Shahada should be recited together. 14:38. Abdullah bin Basir radiyallahu anhu reported, one of the companions said, O Messenger of Allah, there are many injunctions of Islam for me, so tell me something to which I may hold fast. He said, keep your tongue wet with the remembrance of Allah. At-Tirmidhi. Commentary. Shari' is the plural of Sharia. Sharia is in the sense of mashru', that is, the divine injunctions. These divine injunctions are of various kinds, i.e., some of them are obligatory, some desirable, and some voluntary. The obligatory ones are compulsory, and their compliance is indispensable. What is termed as mustabat, desirables, are also highly important for gaining the pleasure of Allah. Similarly, voluntary acts are a means of getting close to Allah. Ordinary people are sometimes puzzled by the abundance of the latter and want to adhere to the first two, that is, obligations and what comes in the category of desirables. A desire to this effect is mentioned in this hadith. The Prophet, peace be upon him, answered the query in this matter by saying to the inquirer, keep your tongue wet with the remembrance of Allah. Keeping the tongue wet with the remembrance of Allah here means its abundant recitation. In other words, one should make the remembrance of Allah a permanent feature. If one is not able to do many voluntary good works, which some people find difficult, the remembrance of Allah will make up the deficiency in that regard. 14:39. Jabir radiAllahu anhu reported, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, for him who says, Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, Allah is free from imperfection, and I begin with praising Him, and to him, a palm tree will be planted in Jannah. At-Tirmidhi. Commentary. Jannah is so vast that we cannot even imagine its vastness. The planting of trees in return for the praise and glorification of Allah is therefore neither something difficult nor surprising. So there should not be any hesitation in accepting it as a fact. Some people take it as a metaphor for a plentiful reward. 14:40. Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu reported, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, I met Ibrahim, peace be upon him, on the night of Ascension, Al-Asra, and he said to me, O Muhammad, convey my greetings to your ummah and tell them that Jannah has a vast plain of pure soil and sweet water. It is a plain leveled land. The plants grow there by uttering Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, and Allahu Akbar. Allah is free from imperfection. Praise be to Allah. And there is no true God except Allah, and Allah is greatest. At-Tirmidhi. Commentary. Kayan is the plural of qa, which means plain leveled land that does not have any trees. Trees grow on the plain land of Jannah in return for remembrance and glorification of Allah. The more one remembers Allah, the greater is the number of trees which grow on the piece of land that will be awarded to him. 1441. Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu reported, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, shall I not inform you of the best of your actions, which are the purest to your Rabb, which exalt you to the high ranks, which are more efficacious than spending gold and silver in charity, and better for you than you should encounter your enemies, whom you will smite their necks, and they will smite your necks? They said, certainly. He, peace be upon him, said, remembrance of Allah the Exalted. At-Tirmidhi. Commentary. This hadith also tells us about the eminence of remembrance of Allah, as the basis of every good deed is remembrance of Allah, an expression of one's devotion and obedience to Him. Without these two, even the greatest virtue is useless and is of no value. Thus, we must always bear it in mind that remembrance of Allah is superior to everything else. 1442. Sa'd bin Abu Waqqas radiyallahu anhu reported, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, and I went to see a woman. She had date stones or pebbles in front of her, and she was counting and reciting tasbih. Subhanallah, Allah is free from imperfection. He said, shall I not inform you of what is easier or better than this for you? You should say, Subhanallah, equal to the number of what He created in the heaven, and Subhanallah, equal to the number of His creatures in the earth, and Subhanallah, equal to the number in between them, and Subhanallah, equal to the number of those He will create. Then say, Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest, in the same way. Then say, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, in the same way. Then say, La ilaha illallah, there is no true God except Allah, in the same way. Then say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, there is no change of a condition nor power except by Allah, in the same manner. At-Tirmidhi. Commentary. Sheikh Al-Albani has accepted this hadith as hasan because of the defect in its authority. He has stated that the original narration of it is without any reference to gravels and stones of fruits, and that is sahih, and has been mentioned by Imam Muslim in his sahih with reference to Javeriya radiyallahu anha. 1443. Abu Musa radiyallahu anhu reported, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said to me, shall I not guide you to a treasure from the treasures of Jannah? I said, yes, O Messenger of Allah. Thereupon he, peace be upon him, said, recite, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There is no change of a condition nor power except by Allah. Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Commentary. In this hadith, the invocation, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, has been regarded a treasure of Jannah, or one of the most precious stores of Jannah. The reason for its high eminence seems to be that through it, one makes a confession of his utter weakness and helplessness, and attributes all power and authority to Allah. And this is very much liked by Allah. This statement is an outright admission that man has no power, and if he can prevent himself from any mischief or do any good deed, it is only by the will of Allah and His permission.